We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I can't believe how many people are out on a Wednesday. I don't think I've ever seen that, especially at 7 a.m. So, Fourth of July weekend, I'm sure a bunch of people got off work. So, I think it could be a perfectly timed event. I think we're going to see a lot of fans.
That's Brooks Koepka, and he is one of the guys that everybody wants to see. Dave Lee out here at the 3M Open, and in fact, Mike Max, you'll be out here a little later on this morning.
I am en route as we speak, yeah. You know what's really nice today, David, is, you know, no traffic, man. They put it on cruise control today. It feels good driving out there.
Well, Koepka's going to be obviously a well-watched player out here, Maxie, as we get a chance to see these golfers. I was out watching Phil Mickelson warm up here just a little while ago, and now I see he's out on the course, and English is already at 3-under. He just got an eagle on the last. Oh, I think it was that number 2, Jimmy, he got that eagle on?
So. It was a par 5, number 12.
Oh, yeah, he's with Phil's group then. So, anyway, that's what's happening. They've already teed off here, Maxie. They will. You'll be out here. It'd be fun to see Troy Merritt and some of the Minnesotans, Tim Heron and Tom Lehman.
Yeah, it was yesterday. I walked around as they were playing their practice rounds, and the folks were starting to gather a little bit. And there's one pro per group yesterday. It's kind of fun to watch. You know, when they miss a shot, meaning, you know, it's not where they want, it's like a shot that you go, I'd give anything to be able to. You know, they're like off the green. You know, they're 150 yards out, and they're on the fringe coming in with their 7-iron, and you're going, I love that shot. And of course, they're disappointed because they're not 5 feet away putting for birdie, but that's what makes it fun. Is you can't believe what shot makers these guys are. A lot of guys can play golf, but boy, to play in a tournament, you got to be able to make shots, and that's what these guys do consistently. And it's just so fun because when they miss, it's still a good shot.
Yeah, I was paying a lot of attention to Tom Lehman this week and how he was talking about the course and what holes will be easy and what could be difficult. And with no wind out here, Mike, right now, a great time for these guys to tee off. I mean, the conditions couldn't be any better, so I bet you we'll see a low first round if this stays like it is.
Yeah, because, you know, it's 71 degrees, and no, like you said, this is the perfect time to be teeing off. If you're going later in the morning when it gets a little steamy, maybe even threat of rain, you got a different deal. But right now, this is like perfect for these guys. 4th of July, and it's just the crowds will, I think, kind of be staggered. You know, some people get up early, some will come a little bit later out there. Everybody's trying to kind of get a feel for, you know, a new venue, but certainly a new event. And so it's hard to say how that'll play into it in terms of crowds and what that'll be like out there. But it should be a good 4 days.
July 4th too. So on every hole, the flag sticks are the American flag.
That's cool. Nice touch. Alice Kavner does so much out there, and I don't know what gets approved and what doesn't, but that is one big operation. We had Mark Dusbabic on last night, the former Viking, who is now a rules judge. And so he'll stand out there, and if there's a call or penalty that he needs to enforce, keep the pace of play going, he does. And he was talking about how, you know, unlike the NFL or the NBA where you play on 18, you know, the entire tour is kind of one big traveling show, and you all kind of go to the same city every week, and there's no home games, and it's kind of cool the way these guys bond and get to know each other, and obviously they need each other for the tour to make it, and the amount of detail that goes into it. He's talking about how he goes out, you know, 4 weeks a year, one of his jobs is he goes out to new potential new sites, things like that, and just walks the course, finds out how they lay out. The amount of detail that goes into everything that PGA does is just unbelievable, which probably explains part of their growth, too.
You know, you go into a trap on a drive when you play and you're kind of disappointed because your second shot is going to be challenging. Tony Finau did that just now in his second shot out of the bunker about, I don't know how many yards away, 180, whatever it was, is right up by the pin. These guys are... But the thing and I was talking with Cam Beckman about this yesterday, Maxie, the thing about these guys is we see them on TV and we see them at the tournaments, but holy smokes, what you don't see is all the time they put into their game.
Yeah, when they play like the practice rounds, it's fun because the pro-am, but they'll drop 3 balls, you know, hit 3 balls from 100 yards out. Then they'll come back and they'll putt out. Then they'll go to the rough and after they've, you know, if there's no group playing behind them, then they'll hit three or four balls from the rough over here. Then they'll move over to the fringe. They'll hit three or four balls from there. It's just constant repetition trying to figure out. Then they pull their tablet out and they make their notes so they know, you know, that hole, what to worry about, what club they use, where club length, all those things. They're interesting part is they're all on their own. These guys don't have – it's not a team. So they're not a coach. There's not a something. You are it. You get the help of your caddy, and that's it. So you really become almost an entrepreneur and an individual on this tour.
Last night, Twins are on the West Coast against Oakland. They're down, and the pitcher for Oakland, who already had a no-hitter this year, has got the Twins shut down for the first 4 2/3 innings, and they end up coming back in extra innings, Maxie, and winning the game.
Yeah. They can't avoid those extra inning games. I stayed up for it. It was almost a little before 1 o'clock when that thing finished this morning. Polanco hit a home run to tie it. Mike Fiers is the pitcher that was outstanding. He's got no hitter this year already. But the Twins, they battle back. They get into it. And in the 12th inning, the Twins score a run. Garver has a base hit. He had two big RBIs, two big at bats. They brought this Trinan back. He was their closer at one time, and he got hurt, went down to pitch in the minor leagues, made his appearance last night, and he couldn't find the strike zone. And he walked the first two hitters he faced and set up the game-winning run. But when it got interesting was in the bottom of the 12th, Oakland had a guy on first base. They get a base hit from Profar. He goes for two. They throw it in. He's ruled safe, so they're going to have second and third and one out with a chance to win the game. The Twins appealed it on the replay. They got the out called, scope taken before he got to the base. Then Taylor Rogers retired the last guy to win the game. But it was a heck of a finish. I mean, what the Twins did to win it, to produce the run, and then defensively what they had to do. Adrianza made a great cutoff. The ball was thrown to third. He cut it off early, threw to second, scope tagged him out. And that basically won the game for him. But it was just another thriller. The problem is you can't go to bed because, you know, now it's almost 1 o'clock and you want to see how this thing finishes.
And there's Robbie Grossman out in left field, the former Twin who knows Byron Buxton well. And Garver comes up and gets that base hit, and it was hard hit. I don't know how many guys would have beat the throw, and I'm sure Grossman's going, oh, no, not Buxton. So he made the throw at home, and he did everything he could, but you can't catch Byron Buxton.
No, I mean, he's flying. As soon as the ball's hit and he sees it's through, he's flying. They show, I saw the wide angle on that. I mean, he looks like a football player running a route, like a wide receiver that's going to go, you know, run 90 feet, take a cut and go, and boom, you got no chance against this guy. Plus, he makes everybody hurry their throws. You know, everybody's got to come up throwing. And Byron actually had a really good disciplined at bat to draw that base on balls because he's been scuffling lately. He and Kepler both walked, and he was the winning run. But he had a good at bat in terms of not fishing, not going, not trying to swing high in the zone, all those things. And he kind of manufactured that last run.
He did miss a suicide squeeze in the seventh inning, though.
Yeah, and that's terrible. And it wasn't just that he missed; it was how he missed it. He looked like he was trying to drag bunt or something like that, as opposed to just get it down. And, you know, and they're not the only ones. I can't remember the name of the kid for Oakland that came up. He's barely been in the big leagues. And they don't bunt very often in Oakland. He was asked to bunt. He wasn't even close. It looked as if it was the first day of practice and you were just getting loose. And you go, where? Don't these guys at least bunt it 4 or 5 times a day? But he wasn't even close. And that cost Oakland big.
Yeah, well, they don't show bunting on ESPN highlights. So that's probably why one's
right.
Really good at it anymore.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah, Rodney Carew, sit down and have a conversation with him sometime about the art of bunting.
Yeah, I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about bunting for a hitter. I'm just,
yeah.
He set his legs up and he kind of poke at it and you go, mm-hmm. Well, nobody teaches bunting that way. How does that happen? How do you get to the big leagues doing that, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, your coach would have been all over you like a cheap suit.
Yeah, he'd pulled me out of that game too.
I remember playing regional championship one time, and I was up, and they asked me to bunt twice, and I fouled both bunts off. And my coach, of course, our coaches are always on third base, as they still are, you know, at high school. And he came down and looked in my face and says, and just screamed at me, like, "You better hit now because you just screwed up," is what he said.
He said something like that, right?
Oh, yeah, it wasn't quite as PC back in the day.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Maxie, you took it and said, you know, he's right. I didn't get one of those fair. He's right. and I better get a hit or he's going to take me right off the team. Right
well,
away.
You know, the other thing that in the big leagues now this year is they've kind of redone the rules of baseball. You know, they talk about swinging hard with two strikes and just still swing from your heels because you might hit a home run. They're doing that a little bit some teams with bunting, too. They're saying, hey, if this guy can't hit, well, let him bunt. You know, it was always taboo. You couldn't bunt on the third strike, right, because if it's foul ball, it's just the same as a strikeout. And now you see teams going, you know what? Chances of him getting a hit aren't any good anyway, so let's make him bunt one more time. You see that a little bit now as they kind of turn all these rules of baseball upside down lately.
Yeah, it's really fun and interesting. Hey, listen, I know you're on your way out. Drive safe. I'll see you out here. And if you're not here in person, I'll be talking to you on the phone in 1 hour.
I'll be there. Thanks, Dave.
He is Mike Max on WCCO getting up on the tee box right now. Brian Harmon, Jonas Blixt, and Jimmy Walker. This morning on the number one hole, and I bring that up only because Jimmy Walker was on that Ryder Cup team. So he's been here in Minnesota before. He understands the crowds. And then on the other tee box right now, it's Max Homa, Adam Hadwin, and Brian Gay, and they are teeing off right as we speak right now on hole number 10. We are at the 3M PGA Open in Blaine. WCCO's Morning News continues after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.